House Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It is 3:15 on March 18th. President, we have Representative Tilton, Representative Hughes, myself, Chair Olson, Representative Culver, Representative Josephson, Representative Keto. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I request that you turn your cell phones off. We have one bill on the agenda before. This bill has been before us as recently as a couple days ago. House Bill 132, AGDC, Support of Natural Gas Project. Rita Delbridge will be presenting the bill, and since we just had it 2 days ago, we've been joined by Representative Ledoux. We do have a full committee. You give us a real brief summary of the bill, and then we'll go back and open up public testimony.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to. For the record, my name is Rena Delbridge. I'm staff to Representative Mike Hawker, working on House Bill 132 with Speaker Chenault. The legislation before you would prohibit AGDC, the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, from working on anything other than the AKLNG project and the ASAP backup in-state gas line project, as previously described, until the legislature and the state get certainty as to the outcome of the AKLNG project. Therefore, AGDC would be prohibited from embarking on a competing type of project until the earliest of three dates. The first of those would be at which point the state and other parties to AKLNG enter the next development phase called FEED, front-end engineering and design, or when the state or another party to AKLNG withdraws from AKLNG, or July 1st, 2017. It also prohibits AGDC from marketing gas that it does not have written consent or title to market, and it prohibits use of the in-state natural gas pipeline fund for work on a project that would carry more than a majority of gas intended for export.
Thank you. Any questions for Rena? With that, I think we'll go straight into public testimony. Thank you. Public testimony is open again. Do we have anybody in the room that cares to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we have at least one person online. Two. Alan LeMaster, are you with us?
I am.
Please state your name and affiliation, and you have 3 minutes to tell us what you think.
Chairs Olson Hughes and members of the Labor Commerce Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak to this piece of legislation offered by the members of the House Resource Committee. I'm the president and owner of Gakona Junction Village in Gakona, Alaska, about 12 miles north of Glen Allen on the Richardson Highway. Been there over 30 years doing king salmon fishing, providing housing for the travelers and storing gas, among other things. I'm here today to speak in opposition to this bill. As I read the bill, and it's difficult to read for me because I'm not an attorney or a legislator, its prime purpose seems to deny any work that would allow the state to consider an alternative to AKLNG. If you all seem to agree that AKLNG is a definitive and only proper line to give Alaskans the best and lowest cost of natural gas, there's little about which you could be concerned. But if something happens in the ongoing negotiations and studies over the next 2 years that would preclude AKLNG from progressing, isn't it wise to have a plan to which you can defer so as not to lose time and money by having to gear up again all the way from the beginning, as we've done so many times in the past? In my view, ASAP is a poor choice given the fact that there is ample natural gas to power the Anchorage Bowl and its neighbors for decades from the reserves in Cook Inlet. With a $3.5 billion shortfall of funds available to run the state for the foreseeable future, is it not sensible to plan to back up our work with as many reasonable alternatives as possible to ensure that the Alaskans can see the benefits of gas over diesel and wood to heat and power our homes and businesses should AKLNG fail to meet the levels of economics needed to proceed? I ask that given these issues and the fact that the governor has publicly stated to veto this bill should it reach his desk, are there not more important issues, a host of which, that you can turn to your attention that will benefit the state far greater than playing with these seemingly political motivated delaying tactics? Thank you.
Well, I think I'm going to help you out a little bit. I think if you, when you do get around to reading the bill, I think you'll find that it does have sideboards. And if you have any questions after reading the bill, call either the sponsor's office or Conrad Jackson in my office, and we can probably walk you through it a little bit. But thanks again for calling in. Scott Davis, Keene, are you with us, Scott?
I am. Can you hear me okay, guys?
Yep, loud and clear. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. You've got our undivided attention for 3 minutes.
My name is Scott Davis with Davis Walking Concrete.
Please.
You know, I was a business owner for over 36 years in the Kenai Peninsula. I remember the struggles just to keep our doors open over the years. I am fully committed to getting the Alaska gas line done. The Alaska LNG project is predicted to come directly to the Kenai, to Nikiski, where there's a tremendous amount of future economic activity that will be generated from this location. I have a lot invested in the oil and gas industry. I work directly or indirectly for companies that produce oil or gas or the companies that service them. The Point Thompson project in particular has allowed my company to invest in new employees, new facilities, and new equipment. I'm worried that we're going to miss the opportunity to get a gas line in our state. It seems the governor has appeared to want to pursue a second gas line. This has created a lot of confusion about our state's priorities in getting a gas line developed. Our state isn't competing with producers to create gasoline. We're competing with other projects globally. With so many questions unanswered, I sympathize with the Alaska legislative desire to create clarity around the governor's plan. I support your efforts to inject some clarity into the future of the gasoline. Kenai businesses have a lot to gain and now as well to lose. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about our state's future prospect in the LNG project, particularly for small businesses like my own. Our state is closer today than perhaps at any other point in our history to seeing a gas line develop. Despite the impact of low oil prices and big fiscal deficits, the Alaska LNG project appears to be moving forward. Alaskans need to know whether our state is on board with Alaska LNG or not. As a business owner, I deserve some clarity and would like to be provided with that.
Well, thank you very much, Scott, and thank you for surviving the iron bug again.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Pamela Troop, are you with us?
Yes. Hello?
Good afternoon. Please say your name and affiliation for the record. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Pamela Troop. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll be a 40-year Alaskan in June of this year. I've been in business for myself for 35 years. I'm a commercial real estate broker. Unlike the last person who testified, I'm asking that you defeat House Bill 132. We have gone down this road many times where we've had only one project and we end up with absolutely nothing. Fairbanks is we're in terrible shape here. We have fuel that's incredibly high. We all know that the lower prices we're paying now are not going to last. I don't want you to do anything that ties the governor's hands that would get us the most economic project possible. Whatever it may be, maybe it is the one that's happening now, and maybe it is not. We need to have alternatives. There are markets out there. The controlling producers are selling all over the world. Our gas, Alaskan's gas, needs to be in that marketplace. One of the reasons I'm calling is that in For many months and several years, I've traveled to Texas for medical purposes, and my family lives in Houston. My brother-in-law happens to work for Cheniere Energy. Cheniere Energy is selling LNG to countries all over the world. In 2010, I was standing in his kitchen, and we started talking about business because that's what he and I both do, and he began to tell me the story. And when I heard it, I stepped back, and my mouth was hanging open, and I said, why aren't we doing that in Alaska? And he said his company had come to Alaska and could find no interest. In 2010, they didn't even have a plant. Now they have four trains in Sabine Pass. They're also building in Corpus Christi. They are selling gas to Korea, Japan, India, and China. So there are markets out there. We could have been in those markets. Our hands are tied artificially. And as an Alaskan, I deserve to have the benefit of that, those revenues for the state, for my children and my grandchildren. I don't care where anything really goes. I just want to make sure that the governor gets an opportunity to do what's very best for us.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Randy Eldridge, are you with us? Marsh Creek?
Randy Eldridge, yes, I'm with you.
Sorry about the mispronunciation.
Oh, that's all right. Call me what you will. I'm just happy to have the opportunity to speak today. Thank you.
No, and thank you for joining us today, and please continue.
Well, thank you very much. I prepared a script, but I think I'm going to get off script for a bit. Today, I had the opportunity to work with one of the producers on the North Slope concerning what he was going to do or what his company was going to do to foster this LNG opportunity. So, you know, there's investment dollars today that are going to the LNG opportunity. Those investment dollars are by major oil companies, and I'm sure that there will be other independent oil companies that follow suit. When I look at turbine manufacturers and I see what they're doing, they are exploring more and more opportunities in the LNG market. That is the bright star as far as profitability for oil companies today. As a resident of Alaska, I have over 33 years working with the oil producers, and I'm proud of that. What I don't want to do is I don't want to limit their investment into Alaska. I heard earlier in a testimony that a man had thought of the Kenai and the dollars invested on a global basis. Well, that competition is global today. If you would back up and look at it as your company, what they would do is decide where the best investment dollar is going to be spent. We, as Alaskans, have changed our method of taxation for I think five times in the last several years, and we don't have a solid climate for these producers to work within. It's constantly changing. So I sympathize with the Alaska legislators to desire to create clarity. I'm concerned about our governor. He's on and off of several things that he's said that he would do. For instance, he's looking into the recent changes of the oil tax structure, and before he said he would not. And now with this Alaska LNG project, saying that he will veto that, I'm really concerned. our state is closer today to seeing North Slope gas developed. Even though that the price of oil is extremely low, and right now the price of natural gas is also depressed, but through LNG, we can see some of that investment. We can support those companies that are providing the opportunity for our economic engines, which would be our employees that work within the state of Alaska. Jobs. That's the key to our well-being. Alaska businesses.
Randy, can I ask you to wrap it up, please?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Alaska businesses deserve some clarity from the governor, and you as legislators are expected to do your part, and I appreciate you doing that. Thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you again, Randy. Is there anybody else online? Anybody off net? Anybody in the room that would care to testify? Public testimony is closed. I'd like to acknowledge that we've been joined.
Pardon the interruption. This is the Fairbanks LIO. We've submitted our list. We have one testifier in the room.
Okay. They haven't showed up. Brief of these. We're back on the record. The next testifier, the one we lost in space, was Merrick Pierce. Are you with us, Merrick?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm with you. I'm ready to testify.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. Merrick Pierce. I serve on the board of the Alaska Gasline Port Authority. I also serve as a CFO. I've been doing that for almost 10 years. House Bill 132 is pretty simple. It's designed to tie the hands of the man the Alaskans just elected governor. It's really appalling. For about two decades, this governor has correctly articulated the right way to move forward on a project. He's always advocated for a large dam or gas line with economy of scale that brings Alaska new revenue, and of course, parts of the state that badly need affordable energy also benefit in that way. So there's conceptually two pipelines out there. One's the Bullet Line, which is flatly uneconomic. It's an $8 billion capex that would seek to take gas to the Cook Inlet where there's a 200-year gas supply. It doesn't make any economic sense. So all we're left with then is a large diameter pipeline with economy of scale. And, you know, the stark reality is Alaska's competing with 25 other LNG projects around the world. And it's not a secret that the producers have an economic interest in a lot of those other competing projects. I think the producer perspective can be summarized as this, that we would like Alaska Gas to stay warehoused. We don't want Alaska Gas competing with our projects in Australia or Papua New Guinea or Qatar. So we're happy to keep it warehoused like we've been doing for the last 40 years. And I would ask you to read and just maybe reacquaint yourselves with the Heads of Agreement, which is the fundamental contract that is sort of the bedrock to the AKLNG project. And if you read 13.4.1, it says nothing in this HOA requires any party to reach or execute any legally binding or enforceable agreements or to refrain from engaging in any business whatsoever, nor does any party have any liability in connection with the subject matter of this HOA. That means the Exxons of the world can go forward and work on their projects, compete with Alaska, and of course there's no obligation in the HOA for Exxon to do any project of any kind in Alaska. So of course the fiduciary interest of the obligation of the folks that run Exxon, their fiduciary obligation is to their shareholders, not to Alaskans. So they're going to go forward with projects that make the most economic sense for Exxon and not necessarily that of Alaska. And I think, Mr. Chair, I'll just offer a couple examples of how, we've brought the markets to Alaska where the markets have wanted to go forward with a project in Alaska, and the producers have simply refused to commit gas to a project. 2012, you might recall under AGEA, there was a solicitation of interest in 2012. Half a dozen companies came into the solicitation for the Alaska Gasline Port Authority. The aggregated volume of gas that they wanted was 2.8 billion cubic feet of gas per day. And there was another entity out of Japan that represented a consortium, and they were looking for about 2.5 B a day. So the total volume they were looking for was 5 B a day, which is more than enough to do a large diameter gas line. That's what the markets were telling us, and they wanted first gas by 2019. Exxon refused to engage. In fact, some of the companies that wanted to engage, were told by Exxon, look, we've got these projects in Canada and Australia, and we're happy to sell you gas from those projects. And so the consequence of all this, the legislature and the former governor said, well, look, let's start over with a new study. Instead of first gas in 2019, we'll go for first gas in 2025, and we'll pick a new route, and we'll just keep Alaska in perpetual study hall. And I can tell you other anecdotes of other entities, very, very large world-class companies that have made offers to buy gas at the wellhead and only be rejected. But those same companies were told by Exxon that there's other projects that Exxon has LNG, and they're happy to sell LNG from, other projects in maybe Canada or Australia. So I'll wrap up by saying that this House Bill 132 is a pretty sad piece of legislation. Alaska needs to go forward and be understanding that the only way we get our gas on the world markets is if we put our first and foremost, we put Alaska's interests first. And we cannot let those companies that have projects that compete with us determine when and if Alaska ever gets a gas link. I'll wrap up. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. Is there anybody else online? Is there anybody else in the room that cares to testify? Seeing none, we have closed out public testimony. Members have one amendment in their packet. 29LS0623/I.3. Mm-hmm. I'd entertain a motion to adopt amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one, labeled 29-L70623/I.3.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Delbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, I'm Rena Delbridge, staff to Representative Mike Hawker. We appreciate the committee entertaining this amendment. The need for it arose in response to a question that I believe Representative Josephson asked on Monday. And he was looking at the part of the bill where one of the three dates in time at which the temporary restriction on AGDC would be lifted is the date that the state or another party withdraws from AKLNG. And he raised a very good point, which was, what if one of those parties is TransCanada? Now, TransCanada and AGDC are parties to AKLNG, along with, separately, the state, and BP, Exxon, and Conoco. However, AGDC and TransCanada have no gas. They don't hold leases, and they have no title to gas. And therefore, they are somewhat different than the other four parties, the three producers in the state, that do in fact hold an interest in gas in the project. So if one of the three producers or the state that holds gas withdraws from the project, there is a much greater likelihood that everything stops and everyone reevaluates the potential of this project to actually move forward. If TransCanada or AGDC withdraws, the circumstances would certainly be important, but wouldn't have that same level of significance. And so this amendment would make clear that AGDC's temporary restriction goes away at one of three dates. This one would now be the date that the state or another party that holds natural gas leases in the state withdraws from AKLNG. So if TransCanada or AGDC withdraws, that's fine and the restriction stays in place. If the state or one of the three producers withdraws, the restriction on AGDC is lifted and AGDC is able to pursue a larger export-geared project.
Any questions for Rena? I'll lift my objection. Are there any further objections to moving this amendment? The amendment is moved. And I'd like to go on the record to say that we received a second amendment. It was almost 4 hours after the cutoff. We got a hard copy even later than that, and it was not accepted, but it's my understanding that it will be presented on the floor. And again, we've had that rule for 6 years. I think the biggest victim of it has been me and my office, as recently as in the last week, where I was a few minutes late in getting it out. And I apply the same standards to myself. With that, we got the bill before us. Any questions? We do have Frank Richards online, I believe, still. Miles Baker from AGDC. We've got the sponsor in the room. We've got Ms. Delbridge. Any questions for anybody? Seeing none, what are the wishes of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move CSHB 132, version 29-LS0623-I, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Brief at ease.
Yes.
Officially back on the record. Again, is there any objection to moving this bill forward?
Yes.
Madam Clerk, or do you wish to speak to it?
Just, I'll give my 30-second version. The folks that testified in resources from AGDC, Mr. Richards, Mr. Fowski, said nothing precluded what they were doing, which was limited in scope, to moving from a 600 level of pipe to a 900 level. It would move us from potentially 1.4, 1.6 billion cubic feet to potentially something more than that, perhaps 2.4. But they were ordered to do that by the board. They're merely going to run some numbers. But fundamentally, I don't think there was anything in House Bill 4 that precluded this, notwithstanding the fact that Senate Bill 138 was supposed to be sort of directional and it was supposed to pretty obviously be the game, but I think once that was lifted, House Bill 4 was freed up and could become other things, and we have to wait and see what that is. And so I'm going to be voting no.
Any further comments? Madam Clerk.
Representative Keto?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Hughes?
Yes.
Representative Ledoux?
Yes.
Representative Culver?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
Yes.
Chair Olson?
Yes. And by a vote of 5 yeas and 2 nays, the bill moves from committee with attached fiscal notes, individual recommendations, and one amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Colbert.
Yeah. Just for the record, I support moving the bill out to allow the whole House to engage. And I'm certainly not planning at this point, undecided, perhaps leaning against voting for this on the floor. But just so the record's clear that I have some trepidation on this bill. Thank you.
There is no such thing as a perfect bill, or at least there is. I haven't ran into it yet. And with that, we will adjourn at 10 minutes to 4.